had an item I really wanted to talk about, so.
In compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes, it's on the website, sent to the radio, the newspaper, and the county clerk.
Okay. Approval of the agenda?
Move to approve the agenda as written.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. The minutes, want to review the minutes?
Can you remember that far back?
No.
Seems like a long time ago.
Have to read it again. So everybody had an opportunity to look at the minutes? Any changes, any corrections to it? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
A second.
Joanne, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. Number five, public comments, communications. Any public hearing comments?
We did. We had three people attend the public hearing in Boscobel. And they were all pretty much nutrition program participants. But they had some really nice comments about the nutrition program. Wondered why more people weren't going. Actually, were giving me names of people they thought should be attending. You know, aren't. But it wanted to know why I didn't think they were attending. And I'm like, well, you know, everybody has different reasons. Some talk about transportation of... one of them is 90 years old, and he's like, if the taxi was available to bring me once in a while, I would probably use it. So he also told me that he didn't like, we're required to provide some nutrition education at the dining sites on a quarterly basis, and he doesn't like it. He's 90 years old. He wants to come, eat a meal, socialize. He doesn't need any nutrition education. So, I really don't blame him, but so he's like, I don't know why they think I need that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's part of our grant requirements. So, but no, they were very good. They had some very nice comments. So I don't think they really had any negative comments at all other than the nutrition education, just not wanting to sit through it. He basically came for his main meal at noon, and that's all he needed. So. And then we had one in Lancaster in the afternoon too here, but we didn't have anybody attend that one. So, but at least we got one for the morning one, so I was happy about that. So, and then Elderfest, that is on my board report too. We had a great turnout for Elderfest with 323 attendees from like 33 zip codes, so all over Grant County, some outside of Grant County. So it turned out very, very well. I was a little nervous in the morning because we usually have a bigger crowd than in the lobby than we did this year. So I was afraid we weren't going to have as good a turnout. But in the end, we actually had a bigger turnout than the year before. So the year before we had 303. So we actually had 20 more people this year. We had lots of nice comments from the exhibitors who were there. We had 42 exhibitors signed up. Two did not show up, which is always kind of an issue. One was one of our own. Steve Brown didn't come. Emergency management didn't come. The sheriff's department was there, though, and he collected 21 pounds of outdated prescription drugs, so he was very happy. And it sounded like he was willing to do it again next year and really amp the publicity. We had a little trouble with publicity a little more, getting radio ads on with all the... with all the political ads on, we didn't get as much airtime as we normally do. So that's why I was a little concerned, because a lot of our airtime was being eaten up by those bigger money ads. So, but overall, it went really, really well. We did the pumpkin contest. We did a pumpkin decorating contest. Staff just decorated a pumpkin. And that went over well. Pam manned that table.
Yeah, it was very popular.
Yeah, people just enjoyed.
Bring people back to show the pumpkin they wanted. Yours was the most popular. glittery one?
Yes, it's very glittery. I still have glitter all over my
I bet you do. But we did it again. We loved it. Al had a good time, too.
Well, I appreciate both Pam and Joanne were both there to help, and we had 16 volunteers there helping, and very much appreciated. We really needed all the hands that we could get. So, yeah, it was actually fun. It was fun for staff to see all the different ones, and we had about, I think we had over half of the vendors say that they would like to do it next year, too, maybe do something with it, so... So that's something new that we've never done, and we just thought we'd try it and just see if people enjoyed it. And they ended up really kind of liking it quite a bit, so it was fun. So I think we'll probably look at that again. Basketball Pharmacy did a medication management, so that kind of went hand-in-hand with our drug take-back. That was very well received. Can you think of anything else?
I have when I was manning the registration people... table, there were people who came in and they were specifically, where do I get rid of these drugs? You know, I mean, it was something
yes.
I was like, okay, right back
yes.
here.
Yes.
But I thought that was really interesting because that was one of the, you know, that was the reason they came.
Yes.
Is that they knew they could get rid of those safely.
Yeah,
so it
was nice. And yeah, and
nice.
Sheriff Dreckman always, I mean, he
yeah.
always had people at his table.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was nice that he was there as well. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people just like to interact with, you know, with him, so and he's very good with people. So I thought it was very successful, very nice. Thank you to Bob for coming and helping tear down tables. I really appreciate that. We were a little short-handed on that end, and so I was very appreciative. So other than that, I think it went really, really well.
I've never
so
been there
you.
Before, and I was very impressed.
Yeah, I was really
surprised.
Never
ever went.
The vendor comments were all pretty good. We get one every year from one of the pharmacies in town here that comes that they're not allowed to advertise, so they want us to list all the sponsors and we don't, or all the vendors, and we don't do that because literally you put them in such small print on the bottom, nobody stops and reads all of those. So, you know, you know, nobody is sponsoring or paying more money. And we spend. I mean, we spend a lot in advertising. So I am going to send them out what our advertising budget looks like, because basically everything we take in for our $100 registration fee goes out in advertising for it. So, but I think they did several flu shots, and so they were fine. But
they ran out of tetanus shots.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we had a lot. They had a lot of tetanus.
Yeah, because they told me to come. Because I went to get one, and they said it would take, you know, by the time they hit everything, I said, well, I'll come back after I'm done volunteering.
And they ran out.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention is who, I don't know who has the door prize, who handles that, but so many people commented, like, when they were leaving, how, look what I won. They were just so excited. So
good.
Kudos to whoever bought all that stuff.
Good. Well, some of them are ADRC stuff. Some is the vendors donate door prizes as well. So,
yeah.
Good.
No,
we always get some nice stuff. So, it was a very nice day. So, the only comment is vendors would like it shortened to maybe noon. You know, we have talked about that. I know, Bob, you made... asked why we don't run it from 10 to 1, which we have thought of too. And part of the reason on that is we still have, Grant Regional still offers that fasting cholesterol screening. It makes, and I don't know, I'm going to have to ask them just how many people they actually get for that to see if it's, you know, if they're getting enough. I don't really want to move it an hour one way, you know, just to make them...
Right.
Have to wait a little bit longer, but so we'll have to look at that. But it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm always glad to see it come, and I'm always glad to see it go.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. For a few short hours,
right.
It takes a lot of time and planning, but thank God for Ruth and Mariah and Courtney and all of them who are really on the ball and all of that, so... I appreciate it. Okay.
6, advocacy reports for activities, ADRC regional board meeting.
I haven't been to one, so I was setting up for Elderfest.
I didn't bring mine with me.
I think probably the advocacy advocacy, they got five main issues that they're focusing on for the network and through legislature. They want to have caregiver tax credits. They want to expand the dementia care specialist program statewide. They want to add $600,000 to the annual budget for aging grants to the counties and tribes. They're requesting additional funding for reliable and accessible transportation. And they request a joint assembly and Senate committee be formed to study the issue of social, got a bend here, right?
Isolation, I bet.
Social isolation and create policy solutions to reduce isolation in the senior population in Wisconsin. So that's the five big issues that they're working on next year.
Social isolation is the new buzzword for...
Yeah. Our next meeting is December 6th.
Yeah, December 6th.
And we're having our joint meeting between the two regions February 22nd at Dodgeville.
That's the Eagle Country and us.
Yeah. Well, I think that was pretty much the highlight.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay.
Building update?
I'll defer that to Mr. Keeney.
I'll be leaving here shortly. We have a 10 o'clock meeting this morning about powering up the heating, cooling, ventilation systems. Power was converted Monday morning from temporary to live. I'm still working on various other panels to get powered up, but we are on metered power. All the other utilities are in the building, so they're hoping to fire up the boilers next week. We do have temporary heat right now with four different LP tanks in different locations to heat the building. They continue to make progress. I know they were putting ceiling tile
in
ADRC yesterday. I think most of the other offices are all done now. They started hanging the HVAC down the main tunnel. So
no more window air conditioners.
The second doors are in, so the vestibule is there. They started grinding yesterday on the floor. We found out we had a little challenge with the terrazzo floor. It's 3/4 of an inch thick and everything else is 1/4 to 3/8, so there was going to be a lip at all those doors in the main hallway, so we decided to take a 1/2 inch out.
Yeah.
So they started grinding on that yesterday. They don't have the doorways in yet for ADRC and social services. A lot of the computer racks are in. Most of the equipment's here, going to be here in the next 3 weeks. I would say that we're probably not going to be moving until February, just because of technology. It takes so much time to get everything lit up now that once we have power and all that. A lot of the offices are painted, hallways are painted.
Yeah, it looks
bathroom
good.
Fixtures are going in. Probably 1/3 of the cabinetry is in. So the building's coming together. But take a short week this week. And then the holiday season comes up. Still making progress. It's getting closer. We did, as you see, we got all the binder down. Just one layer of blacktop so we don't have to fight with the mud anymore.
happy about that.
Some staff's even using the new parking lot. So.
Yes, we moved over there today.
We'll keep working at it.
We are planning an open house before the jail gets occupied, so that people will be able to tour the entire facility. So that you'll get to see them.
It'll take 5 to 6 weeks to move the office spaces in, get those moved in, and then we need to have at least a 2-month shakedown on the jail anyway. So we'll have an open house in that period so people can walk through the entire building and see what it's all about.
People are very excited. I mean, we get comments every day anymore about when are we going to get in there, and they're very anxious to see it. So
sewer project's making headway finally. Shouldn't say finally. I think we have eight out of the 15 landowners already signed.
Okay.
Dave's working on 3 more today, so our hope is that we can bid that project here in December. You have to, as soon as the weather breaks in the spring, we can put 8,000 feet of 8-inch line into town. So it's coming together. It all takes time.
Yeah, no, it's looking good, I think.
Thank you, Bob.
Very good. All right.
Public hearing for 85.21 transportation grant.
And I didn't realize I attached a date to this. We're going to need to change that date. That will not work. When I put this down, I thought it was going to work, and it's not. With the holiday thrown in there and the papers, I didn't have the ability to advertise it. So I will have to do that. It will probably be the following week on the 13th, but I don't know that for sure yet. We do have to have a public hearing for the 85-21 grant.
So where is that held?
Usually here. I may hold one just because I got some interest in Boscobel the other day, and they did have some transportation interest. I may hold one down there, too, just because there was some comments on transportation. For the aging plan, so what I did that day was I just held one in the morning there and then one in the afternoon here. So we tend not to get a great deal of these. We did have Platteville Commission come last year because they were having some transportation concerns with the senior center. And occasionally I get one participant from town that sometimes comes, but it's not a lot, but I will we'll try to get that done in the next couple of weeks, so we will move forward on that.
Number
the grant is due on the end of December, I'm sorry, so.
7, the aging plan?
I did not print off the aging plan. It did not change from when you guys looked at it the last time. However, we needed to revisit it in terms of the public hearing comments. I didn't have any public hearing comments other than the nutrition education, which I can't do anything about because it's a requirement. That would change the aging plan at all. I didn't see anything in there from the public hearing comments that we would need to make changes to the aging plan. So I think we have the power to submit that. It actually was submitted in because it was due November 3rd. And they had gotten their comments out very late this year, so I had told them that we wouldn't have ours back until after this meeting, which was fine. So I would just like a final approval on it based on the public hearing comments that we didn't need to make any other changes. So
just need to make a motion to approve the plan. We have a motion to approve the aging plan for 2019-2021.
Awesome.
Joanne?
Second.
Dale? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's it. Is there anything else on that?
No.
That's it?
Thank you.
8, taxi rental request.
So, as you know, we are pulling out of Iowa County with the taxi, the Dodgeville taxi. That's been only in Dodgeville. So we've had some conversations with Iowa County on that. One of the things they are applying for, or they are in the process of getting a vehicle for their taxi program. However, they do not think they will have it by the first of the year. So the Human Services Director has, Jamie, who kind of runs their transportation over there, had called me first and asked about it, and then I spoke with Tom, the Iowa County Human Services Director, about it as well, wondering if there was a possibility for them to rent our vehicle until they get theirs. So I did tell them that we would discuss it at our board meeting. I felt like I shouldn't just lease it out without talking to the board first. I don't have a real problem with it. However, we have had some vehicle issues, so I'm going to tell them it would be dependent on the fact that if we need the vehicle, we would pull it back, just because if we need it, we need it. But I do understand there is a delay time when you're getting a wheelchair accessible van that you do need to do that. So,
do they have a driver for it, or a driver?
They are. I think they're advertising for a driver, or they've got somebody in mind. I'm not sure. It won't be our driver. Phil has had talked to me several months ago about his intent to retire. Probably he was only going to do it through this year. So I don't think he's going to take it on. But I know they were looking for a driver. So. So what are your thoughts?
How much time will that be away from here? Then?
I think it would be about 3 months. I'm going to guess there's going to be about a 3-month lag time. Now, if they've started the process, it might only be, a couple months into next year. But again, it's like everything else. They tell you 3 months, and it's a little bit longer than that. So,
what did they have? One day a week?
2 days a week.
Oh, 2 days a week.
Yeah. So, we still could have access to it if we absolutely needed it, although we would probably just leave it over there. There's no sense in, running it back and forth. But they run it on Wednesdays and Fridays. They do have, I will tell you that Phil Alms is our taxi driver over there, and he's done an excellent job. They have a lot of pickups over there. He's running anywhere between 20 and 30 a day, which is pretty high, actually. So he's done a great job. So I understand the fact that they don't want to have a delay in that in the program, a lapse in the program running. I don't know that we absolutely need it right now, but we are trying to revamp our transportation program, and we are looking at maybe using those vehicles for shorter routes and things like that. So my thought was to tell Tom that we could probably do it for right now, but I'm not going to make any guarantees. If I got a vehicle go down, he's going to have to look for another one. They do have the Lyft program through Southwest CAP there that I think could loan them a vehicle if need be.
How does that work as far as like liability or insurance or responsibility for upkeep and all those kind of things? How does that work?
Exactly. and that's something I will have to put into a contract. We would have to look at that. As far as I'm concerned, they would have to provide liability on the vehicle, because I don't see where that's our responsibility, and provide that upkeep. If something goes wrong on their dime, it seems to me that that's theirs. We have kind of a collaborative agreement with SOC. When our buses break down, we've loaned them a bus and they've loaned us a bus, and we don't change the liability on that, because that's just always, it used to be that our buses actually belonged to SOC, so we've always had this collaborative relationship, and they both, we've both been very good about getting them a bus when they've got a carload, a busload of people sitting out somewhere, and they've done the same for us. But in this one, I think we'd have to do a little bit more of an interagency agreement or something like that.
Some kind of a contract.
So I'd probably run that by court counsel.
Okay.
Just to make sure. But to me, they need to cover the insurance and anything else on it, and take care of anything that happens on their dime or on their watch.
Well, especially for that period of time, it's only going to be a day or two or a week or two.
In the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there any action or anything that we need to do with it right now?
I guess I would like, what are your thoughts? Do you do you feel strongly that we should do it, or are there some really are there some strong opposition to it? I don't have a lot of opposition to it. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to make it a hardship for people in Dodgeville. We've always provided that service, so I know we're pulling out. I don't want to make it like, well, Grant County's gone now, and now we don't have any service when they've been depending on it. So
if they sat empty for 3 months, they may end up not needing their new van.
Exactly. So I'm fine with going ahead with it. I don't think it requires approval or anything. I'll just talk to court counsel and do a... Do you think it needs approval?
I don't know if you need approval. I think you have...
I just wanted your thoughts.
I do think you need a document. Just
something to recover.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Something simple.
Yeah. And I'm more concerned about the liability of somebody getting in and out of it. That's where, you know, because when you're... You know, we transport a lot of people that are... disabled and things like that, and it is winter time and it's icy, and so I'm more concerned about that liability issue too. So, so we'll get something written up, and I'll run it by Ben, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. 9, the office assistant vacancy.
Sarah did accept a position. She had let me know several months ago that she was kind of looking for something with some benefits. And the position that she was in here did not have benefits. It was only 20 hours. So we are advertising that. We did take a look at the position, met with Mariah and Courtney to kind of discuss it, and determined right now that we couldn't really make any changes to it right now, but maybe in the future as things change, we may look at changing it up a little bit. But we really need somebody in here right now because it's kind of critical. We have somebody at the front desk, and Courtney and Mariah are a little bit busy, so they didn't really need another 20 hours thrown on their plate. So we are advertising that. I did talk with Dave and got it advertised. So so again, that doesn't need... Oh, well, I guess that doesn't actually need approval. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it needs...
We need approval to actually hire. So
I have a motion to approve an office assistant's vacancy.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Okay. Lester, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right, 7. Number 10, transportation program update.
I thought of that last night. I literally said to Courtney yesterday afternoon, what did I have transportation program update on there for? It's been a long week. Then I remembered. So we are looking at trying to do some different things with the bus. We have not hired a bus driver. I have, we are searching far and wide for a bus driver, but we did advertise in the newsletter, and I talked to Joyce about it, and we're advertising on Facebook, to just look for some drivers that are willing to pick up like a route or two a month or a route or two a week, trying to get some different looks to it. Just to get somebody in that can run some routes for us. Our taxi driver, Phil, is interested in picking up a couple of routes, and Joyce said we could do that as well. So what we're looking at is probably using the small bus because it doesn't require a CDL, and doing some 4 to 5 people in a grocery store route here and there. We are still looking if we can find... You know, if we come across somebody who's really interested in that full-time position, I think we'll look at it. But right now, we're not getting the app, so we're trying to come up with different ways and looking at more like maybe more LTEs, because a lot of people just don't want to commit. They're retired. They might want to do it a couple of days a month, but they really don't want to commit to all the time. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now and hoping that we can revamp that a little bit. But if we'd come across the right person who was looking, I think we would, you know, we would also entertain a full-time position, although I don't think it would be 40 hours. I think I would lower it. I think the 40 hours is not needed. I don't think it is. We did have a request from Platteville, the city of Platteville, Luke, and I have...
Peters?
Yes. He is the recreation director for the city of Platteville. I've had a couple conversations with him. They are looking at getting another taxi vehicle, in using that to help provide some transportation to the senior center and dining site. So he was asking me about the possibility. They had actually called DOT. Again, the city's always interested in our 8521 grant. So DOT sent them back to me about the possibility of a voucher system that could cut down the cost of the fares for people. So we did have a little bit. They're looking at they would probably charge about $275 per ride, $250 per ride. He was kind of looking at that, and whether we could offset that with 8521 money. We did in past years provide them when we didn't have the bus route going after Randy passed away. They were doing that bus route. We did actually use some of our 8521 to pay them because we had always done a bus route. So we have had some relationship with them on a one-day-a-week basis to provide them some income on that. How we would do that with fares is a little messier, I think. So I guess I'm interested in what your thoughts are. It's the taxi. We would probably, if we did it, we would have to give people vouchers, and I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to get into that. However, we are providing a great deal of busing. Now, part of their problem has been in the past there that they did have a bus for their senior center, and then they got rid of the bus a couple years ago. And they had gotten a van. At the time they bought the van, they did not buy a wheelchair accessible van. And that caused a lot of issues. And that also caused them to lose our funding of that because I could not, and had, you know, it, the problem was, is John literally, I was there one day and said, "Where's your bus?" And he said, "No, we're using this van." And I'm like, "Oh, so it has a ramp?" And he said, "No." And it was like, "Oh, we have problems."
Did they the new van, did they take that back, Uber Sox?
I don't know. I did not see it there when I was there the other day, but I didn't get a chance to talk to John. So what I'm assuming is they're getting rid of that van and trying to get like a used taxi vehicle that they were going to maybe use was Luke's idea to kind of offset that. The problem with the taxi in Platteville is what I hear anyway is that there's often long wait periods. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure whether that taxi cannot be just for seniors going to the senior center. That I know they can't do that because with transit funds, which I'm assuming they'd be using, they can't do that. So I don't know that it would be that worth. You know, I don't know that it's really going to be that worthwhile for them. It'll be interesting. So we haven't written the 8521 grant. I can talk to, you know, I can talk to DOT about how we reimburse for fares. It's possible. The problem is if, I will tell you straight out, if they're paying $275 and $3 for a ride, they're probably going to not pay that much for a meal. They're, you know, it'll, at some point, it'll either be the ride or the meal that we lose funding on. So, I don't know. We could look at subsidizing a dollar off if they used it. I don't know how that would work. I guess I would probably have to talk to some other places that are using that. What are your thoughts? I haven't really formed an opinion. I kind of go back and forth. It's our biggest, you know, it's one of our biggest dining sites. So it is, I think it is critical that we get people there because it has been a problem. But the shuttle system doesn't work.
No.
For people, because it's not door to door. The taxi, I've heard people say they could wait like 45, 50 minutes or better in order for the taxi to even come.
They do.
So I'm not sure that the taxi is even going to be a viable solution.
No. Most of them riding the taxi now.
The individuals with disabilities that I work with, they rely on the taxi
because the bus isn't door to door,
right?
And some of them have no way to get to that
stop. Right, to stop. And I apologize. I thought John had actually, Luke had, John is also applying for another grant, and I had told John that they could come today, and I thought they would, I actually kind of thought they would be here, so I thought maybe he could clarify a little bit. So I can get more information. I don't think...
Well, could Luke work with, like, my individuals with disabilities? I mean, could we work that into it if we were to do it?
Potentially, because it is elderly and disabled.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what Luke's intention is with
right.
it. And I mean, if he's using transit funds are public transit. So you can't specify just elderly and disabled. Now we have our public transit. So we have a taxi too, and we put a little bit of 8521 in there. And I have to guarantee that we don't, like, deny an elderly or disabled person a ride is basically how we get around that. But with our taxis, the majority of people that are using them are elderly and disabled. So it's not like we have a lot of public. We probably have more non-disabled maybe in Dodgeville just because there's a few more in there that use it for work. But so I think at this point,
I'd like to get in on the conversation.
Sure.
But not make a decision just yet on
I agree.
That.
I think we need to really figure out what their plan is and go from there and see. If I feel like, because we've got to write a grant, if I feel like we need to have some action on it, I may call a meeting in December to do that. At this point, I'm a little leery that it can work out well. I would rather go back to if we can get a bus driver committed to one day a week there, providing that back like we used to, so is what I'd rather do. Because that's the transportation that we have provided in the past. It was one day a week. But I don't know. I did not get a chance to talk to John to see what his take on it. I don't think it's going to...
Who's John?
John Meidinger is the senior center director.
Oh, okay.
So.
I think it'd be good if he could come to our meeting and
I agree.
You know, we could ask
I agree.
Get some
yeah, P and Luke. It might be good to have him and Luke come and
what
yeah.
their thoughts are and what they're
wanting.
I mean, we certainly would utilize it.
Yes.
At least one day a week because we start basketball practice and our athletes have to get to Westview School where SLC and Hodan drop those athletes off, the rest of them rely on taxis.
And my concern is, because I hear the complaints, I do, that is the one thing through the transportation grapevine that always comes out in my public hearing, is that Platteville taxi is not available.
No.
So I don't know that adding a second one will really help elderly and disabled, because there's so many people using it already, I'm just not sure that it's going to benefit the elderly and disabled. And that's who we have to serve, so. So, where if it's our vehicle, if we can get somebody to drive it, you know, the one day a week, then that is dedicated to elderly and disabled. So. But yeah, it's a conversation we can have.
Yeah, I would appreciate
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I thought John was going to be here today, so as he was doing a grant, and it was a county. He's doing a grant for Platteville, but it had some countywide implications, but. He's not here, so I'm going to move on. So I will talk with him a little bit more and maybe ask him to come to a meeting.
Okay.
I think we've got the ability within 8521. We can write the grant, but we have the ability, you know, if we don't have the busing or whatever, we've probably got the ability. I'll talk to John Swissler ahead of time. I think we've got some flexibility within that 8521 that we could change it a little bit if we needed to. But I'll verify that with John to see if after the first of the year if things change, if we could change it. Because if we don't have a bus driver, I would entertain it. So.
Number 11, approval of the vouchers.
All right. Other than a few vehicle repairs that always seem to crop up. Can't seem to ever make those go away. Is there anything else that you can think of that stands out? I can't think of anything else.
Has every vehicle got new brakes now? It seems like.
Well, for a while there it was transmissions, so I mean, it's like ridiculous. I think we still got tires coming on one vehicle because.
How many miles are on some of them that had all these brake jobs?
I'd have to go back and tell you. We do track that, but I can't tell you.
I know we've had trouble with that before, with the vendor and the driver.
I am familiar with that from all my years of transportation with vendors sometimes. But I know Ruth with the nutrition ones is pretty good about keeping track and monitoring that. And we do make a few phone calls and say, what the heck? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, our vehicles are sitting a lot more, too, because they're not getting used, and I know that's not good for, you know, for them either. So.
Is there any other questions in regards to the vouchers? If not, have a motion to approve the vouchers.
I'll make a motion.
Family, motion, second?
A second.
Jan seconds. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Financial report?
All right. We're looking pretty good. As far as revenue goes, I was looking at meals, and we're actually down about $11,000 in congregate program income, but we are also down in congregate participation because we had a lot as we were looking between 17 and 18, we've had like 30 some people pass away on our home delivered program, so that's a lot. Yeah, it kind of goes in streaks like that sometimes. So, and then we've had a number of them go into nursing homes. So we probably had about 40 people come off different things in some of the programs. So on the other hand, if you'll see, we're down 11,000 in congregate, but we're actually up 10,000 in home delivered. So it's been kind of just, I think, a switch. People have gone from congregate to home delivered as well. So, but we'll keep an eye on that. The other thing would be, I was a little concerned about the Ben Specialist federal match replacement, because that's been going down each year. We're just not getting the federal match. She doesn't do as much Medicaid. It's much more Medicare. But it is the same as last year. I did take a look at that. So we haven't, I thought maybe it was a decrease, but it was not. The taxi, where you don't see much for revenue, we did just get $27,400 for the first three quarters. Just literally got that this week. So that will be in there. So we will be good on taxi revenue. And then the other thing would be the trips revenue. We're actually up about $4,600 from last year. So nothing too. The congregate participations or the congregate donations worry me a little bit, but we'll see how they play out. So, as far as expenses, our meal expenses are up. And I didn't get to spend a lot of time on this week. We look like we were up about $20,000. However, I'm only seeing about $10,000 of that in wages, and so I have to look at that a little bit further. So I'll keep an eye on that and see where the rest of that is, because I was sure it was in food, and it wasn't when I double-checked it this morning, so I didn't see it. So I've got to, maybe I can have you put your eyes on it and see if you can spot it. It's a little harder because last year that was a combined budget, and this year we split it out, so I can't pick up on stuff as quickly as I normally could. So, but I don't think it's too concerning at this point. And the rest of them, again, I think we're right on line. I didn't see anything out of the order We will be watching the ADRC budget. I have an appointment with Mary. We're going to talk about that budget a little bit to see if we can't, if we have anything left in the ADRC budget, we may try to purchase some of our furniture or something ahead of time. So rather than let that money go back to the state, we might as well use it. So
does it roll over?
It does not, no. So we need to use it. And we already purchased furniture, so if we can save the county some money and do it. Because the ADRC budget is completely cost reimbursed, so we don't want to lose that. So other than that, that's what I have. Any questions on it?
Hearing no questions, I have a motion to approve the financial report.
Pick one.
I'll second.
Okay. Lester. And Carolyn, for a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
All right. And then you've got my director's report. I apologize. We did not get the program report out this week. It has just been a crazy couple of weeks with Part D and everything, and we just didn't have all the numbers for all the programs. So I will, in January, I will bring you an end-of-the-year one. That will be a little more up-to-date. I think you do have a nutrition one, though.
Yeah.
Put that out there. As far as mine, just a couple of things. We do have former Governor Marty Schreiber coming to Boscobel on December 5th at 1 o'clock. He is going to, he does a little talk on his book, My Two Elaines. It's about being a caregiver for somebody with dementia. I heard him speak in Bedell's. He does a nice job. He's funny. It's not real long, but it's a nice talk, and it really makes you think about the challenges. So that's part of our Dementia Friendly Communities Basketball Initiative. That we have him there. It is free. So if you can attend, I would love for you to attend. I think you would really enjoy him. He's a good speaker to listen to.
So that's December 5th at 1 p.m.?
December 5th at 1 p.m. And I've got some flyers, so if you want one.
Okay, yeah.
It's at the Tuffley Community Center in Boscobel, which is also our dining site. So if you would like to come and eat ahead of time, you can do that as well. Just let me know. So that's coming up. We were really happy that we could get him because he's been all over the state and doing a great job. The budget was approved by the county board. I wasn't able to be there, but I believe it's been approved. So we're good to go on that for the upcoming year. We completed all the end-of-the-year reports for the aging programs, transportation reports. I am working on transportation grants as we speak. We had a caregiver renewal day in Platteville. That was a very nice day. We always offer, November is caregiver renewal month, so we always offer a kind of a workshop stress release day for caregivers that we work with. So they came and had some breakfast, and we had Mike Mitchell from Mitchell Hardware. I don't know if any of you have heard him. He's from the Dodgeville area. Delightful guy, great big guy, about 6'4", he's huge, and his family has run Mitchell Hardware for a long time, but anyway, he sings some songs, and he tells these stories of his family, and his dad, and it's just delightful. It's just, he's very funny, and they really enjoyed him. He's very low-key, but they laughed, and some of the songs he sang, they knew. I didn't know them, but so it was really nice. And then we did, I was going to bring the coasters in, and I forgot. Then we usually do like a craft or some just kind of, again, stress, you know, just something to relieve stress. So we got some tiles, and we did this, it's called like an alcohol ink art project, except we didn't use alcohol ink. We used Sharpies I guess we did use alcohol. We used just like a rubbing alcohol. And they really enjoyed that. So they all did that, and everybody had different things. And I'll grab a couple and bring them down. But it was a very nice day. It went really well. And they all really need that. Most of them that were there have people with pretty significant needs that they're caring for. So we pay for some respite care for them, and it just turned out really nice. So, and then we had Jean Lynch, our GWAR nutrition consultant, come this week to do the nutrition assessment for the state. Overall, that went very, very good. We didn't have any major areas of noncompliance, I think, at all. I don't even know if she noted one. The one thing that she did say that could be changing is the possibility of one of our sites, the Dickeyville site where the city pays for the manager there, that might be an issue for us. She stated that there was some policy change. I have not seen it, so I told her to put it in writing and send it with the letter when she needs to cite something, because she didn't. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't know.
What is the issue?
The issue is that we don't, the Dickeyville meal site manager is employed by the city of Dickeyville. They're not employed by Grant County, and they're not a volunteer. Okay. So technically we don't have any supervisory oversight, although we kind of do, because we have the ability to pull the grant, you know, we pull the funding of it. Yeah. So she was a little vague on it, so I just said, you know, I basically just told her when she sends the letter. What's that?
Where is your site in Dickeyville?
It is at the community center. I think so.
Oh, they don't even.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I wanted to make sure I was using the right name. Yeah. When I said that, I got thinking, was that Head Start?
Head Start was there too. Yeah.
I get my. My old job and this job are a lot alike, so sometimes I get my things mixed up, because we both run those same kind of
programs. They're both there.
But yeah, so I'm not sure if that's just a recommendation or if that's actually coming down from the state. So I just said, well, when you know what that is about, just put it in writing and send it to us, and we'll go from working on that. Because that's a one-day-a-week site for us. The other issue, she was looking at some of our sites and numbers and had some questions on a couple of our sites and the numbers and why we're continuing to run those 5 days a week. And I said, if you have concerns, put that in writing too. They're things we know about. But other than that, it went really, really, it went well. And then Nancy and I also completed, Nancy Scott is the Grant County Finance Department Director. GWAR used to come out and do a fiscal assessment of the aging programs as well. Now they just send it to us and tell us to complete it and send it back. So Nancy and I did that yesterday, and we have that completed, and that will be going back as well. And then the other fun thing that we have going on is that we are a member of the Basketball Chamber of Commerce. We are also a member of Fenimore and Lancaster because of the taxi. But we have been participating in the Festival of Trees in Basketball. We did it last year for the first time, and it kind of generated a little bit of a buzz for us. So we will be having a tree in the Festival of Trees again.
I've never gone there.
It's actually kind of fun, and it's at Philbacks now. It's on the highway, so it's much more visible.
That's a good place for it.
Yeah. Not Philbacks, but I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it's Philbacks. It was Philbacks building. It still is their building, right. But... It's right on Highway 61 as you come in. Yeah, okay. It's the old Brindley Motors.
That's
a white building. So yeah, so stop in. The theme was Jingle Bell Christmas for basketball, and so we our theme, which you don't have to go for, but we've tried to stay with their theme. So our theme is ADRC, give us a jingle. And then jingle. We thought that was kind of cute. We're very clever people. If you're in the Bosqueville area, especially around the time that you're there for Martin Shriver, you can stop in and see. I don't know if it would be open at that time. I'm not sure what the hours are going to be yet. So, but it's kind of fun. So, again, it's just something different and a way to get our name out there a little different. So. Other than that, we're busy. A couple things I forgot to put on here. Part D is happening. It ends December 7th. We have stopped taking appointments because we are kind of at our maximum capacity on that. At some point, Marcia actually has to be able to get the plans back to people, so we can't just keep taking on people over and over. It's always an issue here because it's a big county. But she is working to get all those done. We've had a lot of foot traffic in here for those. And then the other thing is we had our regional site managers were at a training last week in Baraboo to update them on. They have to attend it every year, so it wasn't one of our better trainings, I didn't think, but it was, you know, I just didn't think a lot of the training topics were real applicable to our site managers. They were more applicable to directors, so sometimes they forget the focus the state does where they're at. So, but it was good. They still enjoyed the day. They get to network with other site managers from around the area, so that's always good to know what's happening in other areas. Makes us feel better when we think our numbers are down and then we start talking to other counties and our numbers actually look pretty good. So
how come a lot of the people higher up that control that type of training do that? We had the same discussion at the last region meeting on the convention.
Yeah. Well, I will say that Gene...
Yeah, conservation every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gene Lynch, who is one of them that puts that on, she did ask Ruth and I our thoughts on the training, and we told her our thoughts. And really did give her quite a bit of feedback. One of the things that they had was somebody speaking on suicide. Well, our meal site managers are number one. They're not mental health people at all. Yeah. And I have some real concerns. And the way the training was going on how to intervene, I'm like, oh, that is not an area that we get into. That's not an area that, you know, that I was very uncomfortable.
No, right. Technician. Well, that's not part of their job.
No. And then another one was developing community partnerships with, which is not, again, that's more of a director thing. That is not a meal site manager. So we gave her our thoughts. And
it gets frustrating.
Yeah. You know, I think it's, they have good intentions, but again, there's a big disconnect between what's happening at their level. And yes, there is a prevalence of suicide in older people and older farmers and things like that. And those are maybe good statistics for them to hear, but that's not part of their job. They don't, that's where they don't realize what, they're not out at a meal site seeing what their job is. And,
do they ask for suggestions from you guys on topics?
They do, but what they do
don't listen.
What they do is they say, here's what we have to cover and here's our focus areas, and then you guys can try to figure and it's just like that. So our suggestions were, we have annual things that have to go over with our staff every year. Every year they need red flag training. They need to know what to look for in a home delivered participant if they start changing their dress or their behavior starts changing. That's a call they need to be making to us.
Right.
They have to have some basic first aid training. They have to have some, you know, food safety training.
Right.
That's to me what that training should be about, with maybe something thrown in to give it. But those are the types of things that they're supposed to be having. And then if we identify something locally that's happening in our area, we could provide that training for them. But the suicide thing made me very, very nervous. And we actually have a site, we actually have the managers coming in next week, and we're going to talk about the fact that if they have concerns about somebody, they need to be talking to Ruth or I, and we'll be talking to the appropriate people. They don't get involved in that. I mean, it was... And the funny thing was is at one point I think the speaker kind of knew she was a little in over her head. So it made me nervous. So I don't want people thinking, oh, I think you might be thinking about suicide. She literally said, you know, ask somebody if they're considering. I can't have meal site managers going up to people saying, "Are you thinking of?" I'm like, because I got a couple that might not come out very well.
To you, his phone call about that.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh dear." So yeah, we definitely gave her some feedback for the future on that one. So I hope they listen to that, because I think a lot of directors, at least I knew all of ours were, and we're going to bring it up at a director's conference too. Because there's a big disconnect sometimes. They need to know what we're doing out here, but they think they do, but they don't really understand the day-to-day of it. So, any other questions?
I had a question about the maintenance worker that was hired.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
On December 1st.
We did get somebody. So with the new building, the board did approve for, it's actually comes under the Sheriff's Department. So the Sheriff's Department has two maintenance technicians that already work for them, and that will be taking care of the new building. But this, they also needed a maintenance worker, they felt, to do more custodial. So, so Nate and Fred and I and Joyce and Bob did some interviews, and then the Sheriff's Department has some testing that they do, and then from there they did select Daniel Fliebenstein. As far as I know, that's still the case.
They got to run a security check on.
Yeah. So
that's mandatory.
Yeah, yeah. So they were having him start December 1st, I think, to go, because one of the things they want is these maintenance people are going to have to kind of learn the new building and understand where things are and how things are going to operate. I don't know if that date will change now. I'm not sure. I'm assuming they'll still start December 1st. That was the date they were looking for originally, but I don't know with everything going on with the building if that will stay. So that will come through the Sheriff's Department, and the Sheriff's Department will oversee that position.
And they'll be responsible for the whole building?
They will be, yes.
And it's custodial and maintenance both?
It's custodial. This one is more custodial.
Yeah, okay.
Custodial, and I think some probably some sidewalk snow removal,
kind of
some of that.
Okay.
That's just the technicians curious, are more responsible for, I think, like the HVAC and all of that.
Right,
so
yeah.
The maintenance worker
okay.
is more just the actual
okay.
custodial. So
I don't know, with all the work that's got to be done inside yet, I think they're jumping the gun a little bit.
Well, that's kind of what I was
on the first.
Well, I think, you know, originally when that was talked about, I think, you know, the first was a little more, when they were thinking we were going to get in earlier in January, I think that was probably more realistic.
They got a lot of work
I think so, yeah.
inside,
yeah.
And that's the slow stuff.
Yeah.
Well, part was, they were late getting technology in there.
Yeah.
That slowed the whole system up.
So, yeah, well, now that they've got power, we should be able to the IT stuff, because Shane didn't want, our IT director did not want to be starting with IT things until they had full
right.
real power, not this.
Not the temporary stuff.
Not the temporary stuff that could cause some issues. So you're putting in nice, expensive new equipment. You don't want to have
right.
power issues.
I'd still be leery without having that backup generator working. Myself, I would be.
Well, I actually told Steph all along I didn't think we'd be into February, because I've, over the years, just enough, just even on home maintenance stuff, it's like they always tell you one thing and it always takes a few weeks longer than they say. So. But people are anxious. I think staff are anxious. We did, some of the staff has had the ability to tour the building, so they're getting excited. So it'll be nice. It'll be nice to have a custodian too. We're not used to all this fancy stuff.
To open all them doors in that side of the gun. Right. That's all done with a radio system. Call a command center and they'll open a door for you.
Yeah, ours, like our office doors are all keyed though. So
I'm talking about if he's working in the sheriff's
office. Yeah, yeah.
That gets me an interesting system.
Yeah. Yes, it will be interesting. It's gonna require a lot of lead time over there. I mean, they're gonna be running 2 911 centers probably for a short time, because you can't just disconnect the 911 center and say we'll be back in a few hours. I think that happened in Crawford the other day, though their 911 system went down. So,
well, will it be a separate entrance for your department, or do we have to go through the command center to
get to
the
center right here off the main entry?
Yeah,
okay.
You won't see the jail when you come in.
No, you won't have any part of the jail. You'll enter here.
Okay.
Actually, when you walk in, law enforcement should be on the left, and ADRC and social services will be on your right.
Right.
Okay. So you come in the main entry door.
Yeah.
And jail's on back. Jail's on behind that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But
now they've got their own entrance. They've got another entrance in back for the Huberts.
Okay.
And of course, then they got the big
Sallyport.
But that's where their major problem is. They don't have that at the old jail. So trying to transport them inmates out of that old jail down here is going to be the problem, child. They got. Mm-hmm. You can barely get a squad car in their Sallyport, but they got now.
Well, the new one's fairly large.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
The new one's fairly large. Mm-hmm. I keep telling Jack we're going to use it for storage up there.
They shrunk it from what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still pretty
large. But at least you can pull a full-size bus in it and shut both doors.
Secure it.
I encourage, I will let you know when the open house is occurring, but I would really encourage you to come and look through it because it's interesting. I've been through it a few times now, and I still kind of get lost in the jail part of it. I don't quite know where everything leads to over there, but I clearly don't want to be in the jail part ever because it doesn't look very warm and friendly to me. So.
One thing you want to do, though, is make sure you stay on good terms with the guy that's sitting in that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So once you get in, you're pretty sure of being able to get back out.
You can
out.
Get back out again, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting, but it doesn't look like anywhere I'd want to be. Those cells aren't very big, and I was kind of that way when I toured basketball. I didn't really care to be in there. I wanted once I got about halfway in there, I'm like, I kind of want out of here now. I don't really.
When I toured basketball, I kept thinking, this reminded me of like a movie set or something because it didn't seem real.
Yeah.
And then the reality of like, people are really going to be living in this.
Yeah. And that's kind of my thing with even the jail. It's like, well, that is not a lot of room there.
I toured that Boscoville open house. And there was some wise guy in our group went and flushed the toilet and made the awfulest noise. It just scared the heck out of me.
I imagine it echoed pretty well.
The guy in the command post up there could shut that off or turn it on whenever he felt like. He had that much control over that.
Oh, wow.
They could flush them commodes and anything else.
Must have been on that day.
That's a scary part.
Well, the doors also opened halfway. What was it, about a month or two into it, all the doors opened?
Had
a glitch in the computer system. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But I would encourage you to come in. I think we'll have a pretty good crowd because everybody that's coming in the door now, all of our consumers are asking about it. When are you going to be over there?
It's getting to take shape that people see what
they're they're getting excited for it. So, yeah. And like I said, we are too. So
I forgot to ask when you talked about the building update. What are they doing with the vehicle sheds?
Done at this point. So unless I wasn't at the last county board meeting because I couldn't be there, but I don't think there's been any action on that.
No action.
I haven't quite decided whether we want to spend that $29 million or not.
Yeah. I think the vehicle shed, people would have to lower their expectations for it to get built as well.
Yeah.
I think there are some lofty expectations on what that might be.
Nice to have, but
I think that might be down the road. Or it might be if this project comes in.
Well, and I think
it's being discussed, okay.
Yeah. You could really save on the vehicles and stuff, but then you look at the expense and it's like,
well, that's it. The price they were quoting kind of scared a lot of them out.
Well, that quote on that building was not exactly what you.
Well, I think it was quite a bit larger building than. I mean,
well,
I think when.
It was going to be a big building. Management stuck all their stuff in it. We need one twice that size.
So, like I said, I think expectations might have to come down a little bit. I mean, it would be nice, but.
Yeah, it would be.
But the price was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm here. ADRC program?
So that we do not have. We just have the nutrition one for now, and I will have an end of year. We'll, Courtney will have an end of year one for you, just with Saraglon and everything. We just didn't. We just ran out of time. So. But otherwise, we have been extremely busy, so it's always a busy time of year from October to the end, mid-December, so a lot of foot traffic in here. A lot of people trying to get their Part D done, so that's all I have. If you don't have anything else, if you want to take one of these, please do. If you can make it, I really think you'd enjoy listening to him, because I think he's very good, so...
Any other questions? Any other comments? Anybody has?
Yeah. Well, I do have a question about Dale's role. So you go to the regional meetings, and you're just...
And you were going to. Remember, we talked about you attending.
So is it something that's open to the whole board?
What it is the regional board has to have representation from all of the counties. So it has to have a county board member representation, which is Dale's role on it. Then it has to have a representation from our committee, which is Dave's. And then it has to have representation from the various disabled populations. So that's where your role comes in. And it depends on the makeup of the board, what we're looking for on that sometimes. So... So I did just give her your information.
Oh, okay.
So because we didn't officially approve you until the last board meeting,
right.
So
okay.
Appoint you to that one. Okay. So the makeups of the committees in the county are all a little bit different. Some of them are solely some committees are solely made up of just board supervisors, right? And some are made up of public and board supervisors. The reason ours is because of ADRC and aging requires public, so it requires the public participation. And so we actually have to maintain, we can't have more board supervisors than public representation, so we have to make sure that we're even out on that. And then it has to be so much elderly because of the Commission on Aging, but then we have to have disability representation because of ADRC, so... Gets a little. So yes, we do send three people to the regional board meeting, which seems like overkill sometimes.
Yeah.
But
so when is the next?
The next one will be next week. And I will talk to you. I was going to talk to you about it after the meeting. So if you can't attend, that's okay, because we did just get you appointed to that. But I did send Danica your information, so you probably will get something. And if you can make it, great. If you can't,
It's in Monroe,
a little further than normal.
Right,
normally
yeah.
it's in Darlington.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
think they're just having it show off the new building.
Right,
is that
yeah.
the plan?
Right,
it's
primarily.
So, I would talk to you about it. So, any other questions on the setup? I forget, we've got lots of new people here. So anytime you have questions, please ask. You got any questions, Alessia? These two have been on the board in the past and then off for a while and then back, so they're pretty familiar with us. But anytime you have a question, please ask me, because I'd rather have you ask. It's very important that we hear from people who are, actually over the age of 60 or actually, have experience with somebody with a disability or are somebody with a disability, so.
Yeah.
Not just these two.
When I started this, I was too young.
Is that right? How long have you been on board?
Since 92.
Wow, oh my gosh. Man, that's a long time to sit on the county board. Wow, good for you.
Well, I don't know about that. Wow. Want to ride next week, let me know. I'll drive.
Okay.
No sense of everybody driving all my way.
Where's the Tuffley Center at Boston? I might go to that.
The Tuffley Center is right off the downtown. So if you come into Boscobel, you kind of curve right onto Wisconsin Avenue. You go all the way down Wisconsin Avenue to the four-way, and then you take a right at the four-way stop, and it's literally half a block.
Yeah. Well,
it's right by the Blaine Theater.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Very easy to get to. And if you're interested in having lunch there prior to that, the lunch is served at noon, so you can let me know and I'll make sure we order lunch. I should check the menu and see what... I'll run and get the menu if you want to adjourn. I'll run and get the menu and see what the menu is that day.
Okay. Next meeting is January 16th. And nothing else, we're adjourned.
I'll move adjourned until January 16th of 2019.
Yeah.
9 o'clock.
Second. Lester. Officially adjourned.